Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It's Monday, May 9th. I'm Peggy Nolan.
And I'm Teresa Thompson.
And together we are the Stepmom's Toolbox Radio Show. And we are so glad that you are joining us tonight. We've got a great guest. Her name is Judy Graybill. But before we get into Judy, Teresa, let me ask you, how was your Mother's Day?
My Mother's Day was incredibly interesting. I had so many surprises. I think the biggest surprise was that my brother had gone to England, and I expected him to be gone for months, and Sunday evening he knocked on my door.
Oh, wow, that is a big surprise.
Yeah, and had decided to come back. And so, yeah, that was a big surprise, and it was nice. So my brother was there, and my daughter was home, and it was an interesting Mother's Day. Very good.
Wow,
how was yours?
My Mother's Day, well, like yours, it was kind of interesting, especially when you look at the table that I was sitting at and who was sitting at the table. We've talked about my very extended family, so I was with the woman I consider my mother-in-law, which is my husband's ex-wife's mother. My ex-wife-in-law was there with her new husband. His mom was there. My son-in-law's mother was there. All my stepkids were there. I had a brother-in-law, a sister-in-law, two sister-in-laws. So we had like 16 people at a table. So it was nice. I really enjoyed it, except for the fact that I do miss my own two girls. Jessica's off in Spain, and Christina's out in Lake Tahoe, California. So I miss my girls. But
right.
Mother's Day for me was nice. I enjoyed it. I do want to mention, Teresa, did you get a chance to read out on our blog a letter from your husband?
I did get a chance to read that very briefly, and I sat there as I was reading it briefly going, oh, my gosh, I need to come back to this when I have some more time to really sit down and read it. And I have not had the time to sit back and read it, but I did read it. What an amazing letter.
It was an amazing letter. Just so everybody who's listening understands, I received an anonymous letter over email from a husband, and he actually signed it anonymous husband. And I decided to post his letter out on the blog. I figured since he wrote it to me that it was fair game. So I posted it out there, and the feedback that I've gotten has been amazing. I've received emails from people who get, you know, our blog posts in their email. One of them was Lisa Bagshaw, who also writes for Stepmom Magazine. And it's brought tears to a lot of women's eyes. But you know what? There are some really great husbands out there. And I think if you felt unappreciated yesterday, I almost want to say take another deeper look. If they didn't get you a card, they didn't give you flowers, and they didn't even say thank you. You know, I was with my husband yesterday. He didn't give me a card. He didn't give me flowers. And about the only time that he didn't, you know, say thank you for being a great stepmom, he just looked right at me and he goes, honey, I can tell you miss your kids. And I said, yeah, I do. And he just gave me a hug. So I didn't get any of the, I guess, what other people might be looking for. So I would challenge every stepmom out there who feels underappreciated or they didn't get that appreciation to really kind of look under the hood, because it might have come in a different way.
Right. And I also encourage all stepmoms and their husbands or partners to read that letter. It was just incredibly, incredibly poignant. And just the point that he brought out of, you know, sometimes even I don't want to be here, so I can't even imagine why sometimes you would stay. I mean, it was just a really fantastic. Now I'm inspired. I got to go back and read it again. Yeah, it was a great letter. I was just like standing ovation to that. Husband.
Oh, yeah, it was. So if anybody is interested, if you haven't read the letter yet, it's called A Letter from Your Husband. It is on the website, the stepmomstoolbox.com. Go out and read it and leave a comment. Let me know what you think. I did get one comment on Facebook. A stepmom sister wrote to me. She goes, I read this to my husband, and he said, no way, a guy did not write this. So I just kind of went, you know what? I don't know. I got it anonymously, and it's signed Anonymous Husband. So, but I actually think a guy wrote it.
Yeah, I think a guy wrote it too. And I would just, you know, I do think that a guy wrote that. A really amazing husband wrote that letter.
I think so. Yeah. Wow. So, you know, speaking of husbands and wives, this is a great segue right into our guest for tonight, and I'm really excited to have her. Judy Graybill and I connected, I'm not sure what we connected first on. It was either Facebook or Twitter. I'm not sure. But I'm so glad we did connect because Judy's awesome. She is, so welcome tonight, Judy, and thanks for being a guest on our show.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Peggy. I appreciate it. And I want to thank you, Teresa, too, for producing.
Thank you. Oh, Teresa's an awesome producer. Thank you, ladies. And you know what? Now that you brought it up, Teresa, I want to thank both Aaron and Teresa for last week. They both they pitch hit it, and they were my designated runner last Monday because I could not be on the show. So Aaron did the interview. She interviewed Donna Ferber, and Teresa, you did. I listened to the show 2 days later, and you guys rocked it. So you did really good.
I agree. So
let me introduce our guest, Judy Graybill. Judy has been a certified stepfamily coach since April of 2007, and she was actually certified through the Step Family Foundation. She continued her education through research and talking to countless adults and children from step families, and she developed her heart-centered approach and started Sensible Step LLC in June 2008. Judy, we pretty much share almost the same anniversary. I started the Stepmom's Toolbox in April 2008.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But Judy says that to know thyself is to know thy world, and that's her philosophy. And her personal experiences set the foundation of her approach. She really does believe in compassion and forgiveness toward everybody, regardless of their words and actions. And I think, Teresa, you and I definitely would agree with that.
Yes, you.
Oh, yeah. And I think to her credit, Judy actually helps her clients find creative solutions and win-win solutions. So, wow, how can you argue with that? I think we're always going for the win-win because so many people think in a win-lose mindset. So it's really nice that you're out there, you know, going for those creative solutions and the win-win situations. So welcome to our show tonight, Judy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Oh, and, you're welcome.
I just want to say that quote, to know thyself is to know the world, that is an anonymous quote that I got from somewhere, and I don't want to try to take credit for somebody else's quote, But
that's okay. Yeah, those anonymous quotes, I mean, for both me and Teresa, we grab them and we're like, okay, this is really nice. We don't know who said it, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
right.
But when I think that, I think, you know, how did I feel about a certain situation? What was I thinking? How did I solve the problem? How did I get through it? And that, above all else, you know, is that's what I go by. That's how
right.
I try to, that's how I pretty much figure out what other people are doing. That kind of guides what questions I ask and how I read between the lines what they're saying.
Right. It's kind of funny, but right now the only thing that I'm thinking off the top of my head, Judy, to know thyself is to know the world, that actually could be Shakespeare.
It sounds like it could be.
It could be Shakespeare. Yeah. But at any rate, He has a lot of good quotes out there, too, that are
very appropriate in today's world, even though he wrote in the 1500s. So, Judy, even though I gave an introduction, you actually have a little bit more about yourself, and I would love if you could share with our listeners just a little bit more about you and, at first, where they can find you on the Internet.
Thank you. Well, first, they can find me at stepfamilycoach.com or judygrabill.com. So that is www.stepfamilycoach.com and judygrabill.com. So that is my blog and my main website. I also want to say that my website is under construction. There's a lot of things that I want to add, but all of the major content is there, and a lot of articles that I've published throughout the Internet has been there. I've been quoted on Sun Sentinel. I've done teleclasses, just kind of like this. I've done other interviews. I've presented in person in small group settings. I've been facilitator of a support group in Florida, and as well as, you know, helped numerous clients. I was just watching Dr. Phil today, and he had a stepfamily situation on. It was very interesting, where the stepfather was berating the teenager, his stepdaughter, like, voraciously. It was crazy. And it actually reminded me of clients that I had. And so when I was talking about, you know, the forgiveness and compassion, regardless of words and actions, that's exactly where I came up with that. Because it's really hard to get past a stepfather who is acting like that and saying the nasty, you know, horrible things that he was saying about his stepdaughter. And that's exactly what I was faced with a couple that that had hired me. And it's actually one of my prouder moments, because in just over a month, in about 6 weeks, he had actually, and you know, it was a gradual process, it wasn't overnight, but he had completely changed.
Wow.
He was inviting his stepson to outings. He was being respectful to his son, asking him if he wanted to go to lunch with him, just his whole interaction with the kid. He tried to carry on conversations with the kid, and I'll admit that was still a little strained. It was, I mean, and of course the kid had a very hard time forgiving him, and that came much later. But that behavior had changed, and a big portion of that was working also with the mom in how to parent. And that's one of the things that I felt that Dr. Phil didn't talk to the mom enough about, but he definitely had held her culpable in her own parenting issues, because really that step-parent, he was feeling powerless. And that's exactly what we're talking about tonight. And I thought that was a perfect segue to what we're talking about. It's the teamwork between the step-parent and the bio-parent, and how they want to work together as a team in parenting the kid. And step-parents feel very, very powerless. The extent of their power is pretty much what the bio-parent gives them.
Right.
And the bio-parent feels in the middle.
You know what? That, you know, honestly, I think one of our biggest complaints that we hear is that stepmoms feel so powerless in their stepfamily life. So this is a fabulous show to have, and I hope everybody I know this will be a big hit, and we'll have a lot of stepmoms downloading this show, but it's very important that the step couple is a team. So can you actually, why is teamwork the co-parent's biggest ally to a stepfamily?
Well, the teamwork is the power. That is what strengthens the boundaries that you create. It's a tool that builds the unity, and it prevents that unity from breaking down. It's what builds the rapport between the step-parents and the stepchildren. The stronger the team, the more cohesive the family, the less misbehavior by the children, and the higher likelihood of staying together.
Absolutely. Teresa, in your own step life, you've noticed a big difference when you and your husband really teamed up, correct?
Yes. Yes, we did. It took a little bit of work. Obviously, it does take work. But once he and I were a team and, you know, a cohesive team, and we presented ourselves as a united front to both the children, it just really made things go a lot easier. And then on top of that, fortunately in my situation, not only were my husband and I able to form a really good team, but we were also able to team up with my stepdaughter's mom. And so we're a team of three, and it works really well that way.
I agree.
Yeah, just being on the same team as parents is amazing.
It is, because I experienced the same situation in mine, but I know so many other people who don't because they're putting the kids in the middle. But Judy, teamwork itself is very important in just about every relationship, but why is it even more important in a step family?
Well, that's a very good question, because every family has their challenges, and a lot of them stay together in spite of those challenges, and they don't break up. But in a first family, and most, I shouldn't say just first families, but even those first relationships, even if they're just cohabitating, mm-hmm. The parents have automatic power and influence, and it's equal. And I want to say that again because it's very important. Both parents have equal and automatic power and influence. So those advantages, they both have equal history, the biological bond, and the unconditional love. And no matter what they disagree on, whether it's discipline or other issues, they always have those. And the stepfamily, there's always one that does not have those. The stepparents are essentially strangers to the kids.
Right.
So they have to learn that history. It's not automatic. And the love is not unconditional. It's actually conditional. Step-parents may or may not get to that love. The respect comes first, and only after they pretty much prove themselves, which
right.
always takes time. So mm-hmm. the teamwork is kind of a shortcut to getting there. It allows the family to get there faster, because it minimizes the learning curve of the step-parent. It reduces the pressure on the step-parent. So instead of the step-parent having the sole responsibility to make all the adaptations and the changes, the teamwork kind of instills this feeling that, you know what, it's okay. We're in this together, and no matter what, I always have your back. And when somebody feels like another person has their back, it's just easier. The dad, it's just emotional. I shouldn't say, it's the day-to-day stuff is still a challenge.
Right.
But you know you have somebody else to lean on, and that emotional support makes such a huge difference. But
right.
part of that teamwork is the dad outwardly showing that he is a team with stepmom. You know, by telling his kids, you know, you need to listen to your stepmom when I'm not here. I respect her decisions. I respect her authority, and I expect you to.
Right. I know that there are probably a lot of maybe dads that are saying, well, of course I do that, but the stepmoms are probably shaking their head going, no, my husband doesn't back me. So, and I get this a lot, you know, because there's so many stepmoms that Teresa and I hear from that they're just like, I don't know, my husband's not around, and the kids don't respect me. And then my husband yells at me and says I'm too hard on the kids and blah, 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 blah. And you get this power struggle between the
right.
husband and
yeah.
wife, who should be a united front. But so what advice do you have for stepmoms whose husbands don't have their back?
Okay. The first and foremost is just knowing that he should, because some step-parents start doubting themselves. Maybe I am wrong. Maybe I am too harsh. Or maybe he shouldn't be doing it. Maybe I should take on responsibility. So just knowing that he should be doing those things is first and foremost. And not just when an incident happens, but, you know, periodically and spontaneously, you know, especially like when he's leaving, but just periodically, you know, just give a show, give her a hug in front of the kids, you know, or, you know, it could be a comment, you know, in her favor, just a compliment, just that type of thing. And if he's not doing that, she should take him aside and talk to him privately. What she should be doing is phrasing the whole conversation in the context of how stepfamilies are different and asking him for his help in that. So that context is going to take him off of the defensive and allow him to be more receptive to help. So essentially what she's doing is she's saying I statements, and she's talking about how stepfamilies are very different. She's been learning. She's going to refer him to resources that she's found, whether it be books, blogs, magazines. The advantage that stepmoms have now is the amount of resources that are out there. I mean, and most of them are
so
fairly
many.
New.
Yeah.
Yes. So she's asking for his help. She wants him to also learn what these differences are. And if she's phrasing this as, please help me, you know, like that Jerry Maguire quote, help me help you.
Right.
You know, that's what she's asking for. So that's going to, something in his genes is men like to resolve issues, and they like to help their women, most of them. So,
most of them. So, Judy, let me ask you this. What would you say to the husband who, there's a number of husbands out there that kind of live in fantasy land that believe that their new wife needs to love the children unconditionally, and there's the whole fantasy of the first family, that a step family has to be, that must be a first family. You know, it's like squishing that square peg into a round hole. So what advice would you have to the dads out there, the husbands, as far as, because a lot of women understand, they know how to do the I thing, you know, I need your help with this, but the guys, some of them don't get it. What would you say to them?
The research is out there. You can read the research for yourself. Step families are different, and there's all kinds of literature that recites what those differences are. You have the divorce that gives all this emotions, you know, with the anger issues and the whole thing. There is no biological bond. There's this lack of power with the step parents. I would definitely, you know, he has to understand that there's a difference first. I mean, I don't have like a magic wand to make him understand that, but
right.
I would definitely, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the research that's already out there. I don't have to recreate that wheel.
Right.
Want to lead him to it.
Right. Yeah, but that's pretty much the same type of answers that that I know that other people have given, as well as myself, which is, you know, hello, you can, here's the research, and I've literally, you know, sent people books. Here, read this. It's here. So, it just surprises me that there would be this fantasy,
right,
or this certain amount of naivete.
Naivete.
Yeah. That came out kind of like I had marble stuck in my mouth. But yeah, there seems to, especially with some of the younger step families, there just seems to be this, I don't know, maybe it is that fantasy. But step family life is definitely not a fantasy. It's kind of
right.
A joke.
You know, there's definitely, there's other relationship issues going on there as far as, you know, whether a husband is going to change and not. And that's one of the things I was going to mention, get to later on. And, you know, I created what's called the await process to decide if somebody is going to change or not.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes we have to double check ourselves. You know, sometimes, you know, we need to know, we work ourselves into a frenzy sometimes in trying to get somebody to change or make them see something that's really obvious to us and they're not. And sometimes we don't know when we should stop trying to hit them over the head, you know, to get them to realize this. So I created the await process. It's an acronym to, it's really, once I mention what the acronym stands for, you know, most people are going to say, well, yeah, I already kind of do that. But having an acronym to state it, you know, is an easier reminder for it. AWAIT, A for awareness. Awareness is the number one thing, and without that, if they are not aware, they will never change and they will never get it. And if they never, ever become aware, at some point you have to look at the whole situation and say, because I don't know what else is going on in the relationship, is this whole situation worth staying or not, okay? Is this lack of awareness creating this really unhealthy situation for me that I don't want to stay in, okay? But once they have that awareness, then they have to take that next step of the willingness to do something about it. The awareness of the benefits of making these changes and the willingness to go take the effort to make the changes. If they're not willing to make those changes, if they're not able to make those changes, then it doesn't really matter. You're still back in the same boat and evaluating whether this is worth it or not. Because if they're not willing to do it or they're not able to do it, then it's not going to happen. And so then that gets us to the AWA. The second A is for action plan. They have to have an action plan to do it. And in this scenario, that part of that action plan would be reading the research, doing the research, reading it, and trying to get informed and trying to figure out what they should do differently. Maybe it's talking to experts. There's a lot of experts besides just myself that will, you know, just talk to somebody for free once or twice, you know, give them a free evaluation. Lots of experts will do that just to help somebody, you know, determine, is this real? Am I on the right track or whatever? That has to be part of the action plan. And then that step-to-step process of doing it. And then I, implementing that plan. If you don't implement that plan, it's never going to happen. You know, no plan will ever take effect. No improvements will ever be made without the implementation, the action itself. And then T for tracking that progress. And this one is kind of the only part of the step that's not absolutely 100% essential, but it definitely increases the likelihood of success. Tracking yourself, whether it be daily, weekly, or monthly, you know, how am I doing? Is this working? Or do I need to adjust my action plan? Do I need to do something differently? Do I need to rethink this plan because of this habit or that thing I didn't consider before? You know, so I have an article on my blog about that.
Okay. People should go read that. I just posted that out in the chat room, the await, your steps to that awareness, willingness, the action plan, implement the plan, and track progress. And as I was typing it out, I said, oh, wow, this almost sounds like one of those army things that my husband has to do.
The what thing?
An army thing.
Oh, okay.
He's in the army.
Well, I knew that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that's actually very good. And people can find your blog at stepfamilycoach.com. So, and it's on that blog, correct?
It's actually on the judygravel.com.
Okay.
But there's a link from the website.
Okay. Awesome. That's actually a very good five-step process, I think. I like your acronym, too, AWAIT. Definitely. So stepmoms, if you're listening to this, check out Judy's article on the await process. I think you might get a lot out of it. And definitely show it to your husband. So that's very good. Thank you for that, Judy. Now, this is another question that often arises in stepfamily situations when you've got, it really doesn't matter if it's the stepmom or the stepdad, but they disagree with the bio parents' parenting style or their parenting rules. What do you have advice and tips on for that when there is a disagreement in parenting styles?
Well, the first thing I want to point out is that once the step-parent is emotionally accepted as a maternal figure or paternal figure by the stepkids, this is not that big of an issue because they then at some point develop their own influence. But certainly in the beginning, this is normally not the case. So most step-parents have to ask themselves, you know, has their partner outwardly disagreed with them in front of the kids? Has he not supported her decisions, independent decisions that she made? Has he not backed her on the rules or the consequences? So if a step-parent has answered yes to one or all of those things, then they have to realize that the worst thing they could do is to take matters into their own hands. And normally they want to, but it's going to create more problems. Okay, so at that point, they pretty much remain powerless, but for the least stressful situation, they should acquiesce to his parenting. And that's not what the step-parent wants to hear.
Right.
But that's going, in those circumstances, if the parent is not backing them, has outwardly disagreed with them, if she's made some rules or consequences, then, you know, and he's disagreed with them in front of the kids, then, you know, she just needs to, you know, accept the fact that she doesn't have power at this point and continue to work with him privately to try to get him to change and see things differently. And, again, this definitely goes into that await process, understanding if all of these things are going on, how much can I take, and understanding when he can change and if he's going to change is going to make a big difference.
Right.
I have an example on this one,
yep.
Which I think is good. And it's a very simple example, too. Let's say they're all eating dinner, and stepmom tells young Billy, you know, sit up straight and get your elbows off the table while we're eating. What if the stepfather then said, I mean, the bio dad, her partner, says, hey, hon, lay off. He's had a hard day. Let him relax. That's exactly what I mean by undermining her authority.
Okay.
He didn't even give Billy a chance. Okay? What he should be doing is waiting for Billy to do it. Even if he disagrees with her, even if he's thinking, wow, why is she making him do that? That's, you know, he should hold it to himself and tell her about it later in private. Hey,
right.
That's not a rule that I've usually followed before. But as long as in front of Billy, he waits for Billy to make that change, and if Billy doesn't, he should give Billy a consequence, a nudge,
right,
a look, you know, whatever words he normally uses to make the message clear. If Billy still doesn't do it, you know, dad should impose a consequence. And if dad doesn't, then that's a parenting issue that will create a lot more anarchy, you know, which is kind of like the scenario I saw on Dr. Phil today, you know,
right,
where it was a parenting issue. So,
right. We're going to talk a little bit more about parenting issues. I just want to remind everybody, you are listening to the Stepmom's Toolbox radio show. I am your host, Peggy Nolan. My lovely producer and co-host, Teresa Thompson, is running the controls for us tonight. And our guest tonight is Judy Grable. She is the Step Family Coach, and you can find her at judygrable.com as well as stepfamilycoach.com. So thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. And I do want to take just this one moment to acknowledge everybody who downloaded or listened live, tweeted, or liked our radio shows in April. We had an all-time record, I want to call it listenership. I don't know what else to call it. We had over 2,100 downloads for the month of April, and that just really kind of knocked my socks off. I thought that was totally, totally awesome. So,
yay.
Wow. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, the show is growing by leaps and bounds, and the fact that it grew that much just, it grew by almost 300 downloads between March and April, and I was actually watching numbers, not that I watch them all the time, but in my head, we grow about 150 downloads a month, so we doubled in our growth, I guess. This is not, scientific. This is just me looking at numbers really quick and going, oh, wow, we like doubled our listenership since the last month. But yes, a little over 2,100 downloads for the month of April. So we have a huge listenership out there. So, Teresa, if you want to say anything to our listeners, now's the chance.
Well, I just first and foremost want to thank everyone. I know that Peggy just put so much effort up front. I kind of am behind the scenes, and I run the chat room, and I produce everything, but Peggy gets all the guests, and she is just doing such a fabulous job, and so to be a part of this and with her is amazing to me, and to have such a warm and wonderful response from all of our listeners, and to really be reaching people. I know that that's our goal, is to reach people, and with as many listeners as we have, we're just very thankful that you're taking the time to listen to what we're putting out there. It really means a lot to us, so thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, definitely thank you. And for the people who are writing in, either on Facebook or on Twitter, or even sending me, contacting me through the Stepmom's Toolbox website, your emails and your messages that we are reaching you, that means everything, because that means I'm on the right track, that Teresa and Erin and I, all three of us, are on the right track. We're bringing you the guests that you want to hear. So thank you, everybody, for listening. So, and let's get back to duty. Small commercial break.
That means we're growing.
Yeah, I had to say something about everybody who's been listening to us, because it's just been truly, truly amazing. So that's huge. And, you know, our listeners truly are our sponsors. They sponsor us. We wouldn't be here. So kudos to everybody who listens. You keep us on the air. Okay, so we talked about when the stepmom and the bio dad disagree with parenting styles or parenting rules, and how they should actually, you know, really take it offline and not have that disagreement in front of the kids. So did you want to say anything about that? Do you have any other examples that you wanted to share on that to help stepmoms and dads out there?
There is another example that I'd like to give, and it's an example from it's really a true story, and I've changed the names, obviously. But this one is everyone that listens, almost everyone, will recognize a little bit of something that goes on in their house in this story. So it's kind of a combination of things. But again, this is a real issue, and I think it's very representative of teamwork and some common issues that happen, miscommunications and assumptions. We all make assumptions without even realizing it. So this story is about Barney and Amanda, who had been married and living together with five kids between the two of them for a little more than 2 years. Amanda was Jewish, and Barney was a non-denominational Christian. So one night, Amanda's congregation was having some sort of gathering. It was not a religious ceremony. It was more like an anniversary or a birthday party or something with one of the members.
Mm-hmm.
So Barney was planning on going to the party, but there's a religious service before the party that he was not planning on going to, because he did not follow her religion, and this was accepted by everybody. But Amanda and all the kids, both hers and his, were going to go to both the service and the party afterwards. But then Barney gets a phone call from some people he was trying to work with. He's in a career transition, and this meeting is very, very important to this work he's trying to get. So he decides that's a higher priority, and instead of going to the party, he's going to do the meeting, but if he has time after the meeting, he's going to make an appearance. Okay. So then the day of the event comes, and Amanda's son, Billy, and Barney are the only ones home, and Amanda's son Billy comes to Barney and makes some comment about going to the event together. So apparently Billy didn't know that Barney had changed his plans, and Barney simply replies that he's not going. Well, unbeknownst to Barney, Billy was expecting Barney to take him to the event, and so now he's like suddenly very distraught because he doesn't even know how he's going to get to the event. So he calls his mom at work, and then she makes other arrangements for Billy to get to, and I think she had to come home, pick him up, and then get to the event because she was at work and she couldn't make other phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
So now Amanda and Billy are really upset at Barney because Barney essentially refused to give Billy a ride, and that's as far as Billy's concerned, that's what happened. Barney refused to give him a ride. And he asked Barney. Barney's like, no, I didn't refuse him to give him a ride. He didn't even ask me for a ride. He just said something about going. I didn't know he didn't know I wasn't going. And that was my response. So where did the communication break down here? One, when Barney told Amanda that he was not going to attend the event, he assumed that she made other transportation arrangements for Billy. Now, Amanda assumed that because she was going to be at work and because of the logistical issues with coming home, picking up Billy, and going to the event and the time, she assumed that Billy was just going to, I mean, that Barney was going to continue along his agreement on just providing the transportation for Billy, dropping Billy off, and then doing his thing. Billy didn't know anything at all. He just thought Barney was going to go. And even though Billy never officially asked him, he just said something about going together. So he didn't say, Barney, will you take me? So Barney assumed that he wasn't asking him to take him, was just making a comment. And Billy assumed he was refusing. Okay, so everybody's mad at everybody, and everybody's making assumptions, and they didn't even realize they were making assumptions. Okay.
Right.
So after the fact, how could this be fixed? Okay. So one of the things that could have happened is if Amanda, when Billy called Amanda at work, she could have actually just called Barney directly and said, you know, hey, Barney, I thought you were going to take him. What's up? And they would have had a conversation. However, Amanda is the teacher, and she couldn't actually pull herself away from the class. So that was unpractical. So days, you know, they're stewing in the anger and the confusion and the resentment for days. First of all, there's been a communication breakdown in this family for a while. So they have to understand who miscommunicated, who made the assumptions, and when and how. And then everybody has to explain it to everybody else and apologize. And that's where the forgiveness is an ongoing thing. And I cannot stress this enough. And it is easier said than done. But so after the fact, what needed to happen is that Amanda would then explain to Billy, you know what, this is a miscommunication between me and Barney. It had nothing to do with you. I'm claiming equal responsibility in this miscommunication. So here, she's taking the blame off of Barney. Now, previously, Billy was blaming Barney, and that's where the rapport and the unity is breaking down, because Billy was already blaming Barney. But now Amanda is going personally to Billy and saying, no, don't blame Barney. What really happened is that Barney and I needed to communicate better, and we didn't. And that's what happened, and I claim equal responsibility, equally Barney and myself. And then she's assuring that, Billy, this is not your fault, but in the future, what I may ask you to do is to talk to Barney directly and just ask him for a ride, because you didn't specifically state, may I have a ride? So he misunderstood. So
right.
This hopefully is a learning thing to everybody. Now, Barney should also make a point to talking to Billy, because he wants to continue along building that rapport. So he should make a point of saying, you know, I realize this is a miscommunication. I would have gladly given you a ride if I had understood that that's what you were asking. So please, in the future, feel free to come to me and ask me for a ride. I will gladly do it.
You know, Teresa, I want you to jump in here, because you and I both write a lot on asking questions and making assumptions. Now, I'm going to guess that Billy is a teenager-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So that's almost like typical how teenagers communicate anyways, because they don't want to come right out and ask you.
Right.
Sometimes. So, Teresa, I want you to jump in, because you do have a daughter and a stepdaughter, and they're both teenagers, and I'm sure this has happened to you. Do you want to comment?
Yeah, it's just this whole idea of making assumptions, because we are so busy and we are doing multiple things at once and things change, and our assumptions can really get us into trouble. Teenagers assume that their parents assume that their parents are going to be doing whatever it is they think their parents need to be doing. And, you know, mom's going to assume dad's got it put together, dad's going to assume mom's got it put together, and because everybody is assuming that they're all on the same page, when they end up all on different pages, it's just incredibly a mess. And I actually wrote an article, because we had an incident last summer where, had we made assumptions, we could have just ended up in court. It could have been an ugly, horrible situation. And what had happened was that somehow my stepdaughter's records, she was living with us at the time, ended up at the school district where in the town where her mom lived. And had we made assumptions and just assumed that her mom had gone in and changed records and was starting to, cause trouble, so to speak, we could have been in court and had a very expensive court battle. But we took the time to ask questions, and that is so essential, especially when you're raising kids and you're having teenagers, and taking the time to sit down with them and teaching them to ask questions, that you can't just assume that somebody's going to know exactly what you need when you need it. And I think that's a good lesson for everyone.
Right.
I do know that
teenagers... And be clear in your communication, too. I mean, clearly stating what you want is also something that we have to teach the kids, and it's something that everybody constantly has to learn and practice. Clearly stating what it is we want and asking for it.
Yes. And in my land of teenage girl... Yes, because I've got a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old, oftentimes they don't know what it is they want.
Right.
And so understanding that and then really helping them and giving them the tools to help them process on their own what it is they want and what it is they need is step one.
Yeah.
Step two is teaching them how to communicate those wants and needs. And we as parents can't assume that they're going to get from step one to step two all by themselves.
Right.
Or that they even understand that there's a step one and a step two. We need to start from the basics, even with ourselves, for learning good communication styles. And then we really need to teach our children good communication styles for everybody to be on the same team. That's what makes teams work, is that everyone's on the same page and everyone's communicating and everyone's getting their needs met.
And sometimes we have to go out of our way to schedule little meetings, and that's what I had recommended for this couple, because really, one of the things that Teresa just mentioned a few minutes ago is very key in a lot of these families. It's all the things that are going on. There is so much daily stress with the work and the, in this case, both Amanda and Barney were going through career transitions. There's school activities. There's transportation issues. There's traffic customer service rep with, you know, XYZ company. There are so many daily things going on that sometimes we just forget. Sometimes we just get off track. We're not thinking, and we're so frazzled with the day that, you know, we really just forget to mention a slight little thing like, oh, yeah, I can't pick Billy up. Can you have your uncle do it or your brother do it or something, you know?
Right. And just a point on that, one of the things that my husband and I did with Junior is because Junior in his ADHD stuff, everything was chaos. I finally got it to the point where we had a, after dinner on Sunday night, I'd pull out the big calendar and I'd say, okay, what's everybody doing this week? Let's write it down.
Right.
Right.
That's an excellent idea, you know?
And that calendar was posted in my kitchen hallway, and it was literally one of those calendars where you could rip off each week and throw it in the trash once it was done. It was one of those 3M, it was a large post-it note, let's put it that way.
Right. The dry erase ones are really good, too, for families in which there's a lot of changes going on. I mean, that's also very common when, you know, plans change, you know, spur of the moment. You have a lot of, that's why I'm in favor of the dry erase ones. Otherwise, you have cross out after cross out after cross out. It could get messy.
This one was kind of cool because it actually came with different colored post-it notes.
Oh, cool.
And you could actually color code stuff, and if something changed, well, you just ripped off the post-it note, threw the post-it note in the trash. So
that's a
great one. I'm a big post-it note fan.
You should post the link to selling that. Where can people find that? I think that's wonderful.
I found it at Staples, and it's got, well, it had a whole year's worth of weeks, so it had 52 rip-off pages. I loved it. And it was so popular that when my oldest daughter was home for a couple of months, home from Spain, she was actually writing her name in and then writing out her work schedule. I'm like, oh, I love this.
Right. That's
cool. So it worked really well. And as we wind down this hour of this show, what I want to do, Judy, is could you come up with, well, one of the things that I want to talk about real briefly is teamwork seems so obvious. We see baseball teams, they work as teams, basketball teams, hockey teams, football teams. People at work, we all understand teamwork and collaboration. But why are we still talking about teamwork when it comes to families?
Well, especially step families. It's just because it is so different, and I think everyone that is talking about step families, they're going to say it till they're blue in the face until people get it. I don't think that people have really got it, that step families really are different. They don't and are not going to act like regular families. There is a lack of balanced power in these families. First families, the power is balanced and automatic. Automatic, equal influence and power among both parents. Step parents don't have that same power.
Right.
And
you know what? In an old football analogy, it's like when you when they recruit a new player and they're bringing that player into an existing teamwork, and how it can take a season to get that new player integrated into the system.
Exactly. Families operate as a system. I mean, there's actually a theory that called the systems theory that talks about that exactly. Each family has that system. They all adapt to those systems from the moment the kids are born. That parent comes in, they don't know what that system is. They're in the dark. They're lost. They're learning on the fly. It's like on-the-job training, which is exactly
right.
You know, you posted on the job training with no manual.
With no manual.
And oftentimes, people are not even telling them what their role is. I mean, and when they are telling them what the role is, it's different from everybody. You know, maybe one, the husband wants stepmom to be more motherly and love the kids like her own. The bio mom's like, no, you're not their mom, and you can't
right.
and won't, and I don't want that. And the kids are like, I just want my needs met. And they're like, you know, or sometimes they're like, I'm not ready to be parented by a step figure. Sometimes they're okay with it, depending on where they are in their process of acceptance. So the stepmom is getting multiple messages from everybody, and sometimes she cannot make everybody happy. So
right,
it's
yeah, she's not going to make everybody happy all of the time. We, you know, I mean, Teresa and I can definitely attest to that. So you do the best you can, and hopefully you're not running offense and defense at the same time.
Right. And, one other thing that I want to note here, the difference between a childless stepmom and
uh-huh.
a mom that where both co-parents have kids from a previous relationship. The childless stepmom, this is even a more potent issue because a mom who comes into the relationship, she always has that title of mom, no matter what.
Yeah.
She never loses that identity. She always has influence over her own kids. And that never changes. She always has that history, that bond, that unconditional love from her own kids. Sometimes childless stepmoms, they get more lost. They can really easily lose their identity. If a childless stepmom does not have their own support system of friends or
right.
coworkers, if they're a stay-at-home stepmom, that there's that potential of losing that identity, feeling isolated and alone, and that's really emotionally detrimental to that childless stepmom. Whereas a mom will still deal with a lot of those other issues, but her kids are her support. They've always been her support, and they've always been there. And that's
right.
the comfort that a childless stepmom just doesn't get. So
you know what, Judy? We might have to have you back on, just, you know, even if it's for 30 minutes, to talk about the childless stepmom and the different challenges that she has. And I know that I would actually love to have you back on when Erin is my co-host, because she is a childless stepmom, so I think she'd get a lot out of it. So
I would love to come back.
Yeah, you just come back on the show with us. So, because we only have like 2 minutes left anyway. So,
there's always more to talk about.
There's always more to talk about. And for people who always say, wow, I don't know if I can fill up an hour. Yeah, you can. Don't worry about it. So, Judy, this has been absolutely great. We're glad you came on. You gave some amazing examples. So I'll definitely be putting this back up on Facebook and Twitter. This was a really, I think you've given some really concrete examples for stepmoms and stepfamilies to use, and especially your await system. And everybody needs to go out to judygrable.com and read what await is all about. So that is awesome.
Thank you so much.
So thanks again, Judy, and I'll be in touch to schedule you to come back on, and that would be so awesome.
Wonderful. And I do want to say a happy Stepmom's Day to all the stepmoms. It's a little bit early, but this coming Sunday is Stepmom's Day, and I want to make a point of wishing everybody who's listening a happy Stepmom's Day.
Oh, absolutely.
And spread awareness
happy
of that.
Happy Stepmom's Day. Absolutely. And just real quickly before our show ends tonight, our next guest next Monday night is Sheila Dean. She is a relationship expert. She's actually quite funny, and so I invite all of the stepmoms who are listening to have your husbands listening in as well, because this is just for the couple. So no parenting advice, no nothing, just a lot of step couple and couple relationship advice, and it's going to be a great show. So, Teresa, thanks so much. This has been an awesome show.
Thank you.
It has been. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
All right, so good night, Judy, good night, Teresa, and good night, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Good night. Good night.